Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Everyone to Locked On Rockets, your home for podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's show is brought to you courtesy of our friends and partners over at SeatGeek. Download the SeatGeek mobile app and enter the promo code LONBA, and you'll get a $20 rebate off of your first SeatGeek purchase. Well, folks, as we chat on this Saturday morning, the dream is dead. The Rockets will not be going 103-0. That's because they lost 106-97 in the preseason finale Friday night against the Spurs. That finishes the preseason at 4-1 for the Rockets. It was a game in which you would expect it to be very sleepy, and it certainly was. Defensively, the Rockets were not that committed, and then you have that with the matchup of the San Antonio Spurs and their ball movement, and folks, that's just not an ideal draw for the last game of the preseason. If you remember back to the preseason last year, the same thing happened. The finale for the Rockets was against the Spurs, that time in San Antonio. They also struggled in that game and lost. And it's just one of those things. I know you play them because it's an easy trip. You see lots of regional rivalries in preseason because no one wants to go through long plane flights, especially with the regular season right around the corner. But for the Spurs, even without Kawhi Leonard, the system is predicated on ball movement, and then you combine that with the general lethargy of a final preseason game, which the regular season is just a couple of days away, and everyone is essentially focused on that and just sleepwalking, trying not to get hurt. And it's just the perfect storm for the Spurs just to get a higher quality of looks, which they did on Friday night. And if you've listened to this show before, I mentioned they're not going to go 103-0 because jokingly, after starting 4-0, I mentioned that you can go 5-0 in the preseason, 82-0 in the regular season, and 16-0 in the playoffs. Well, of course, that's not going to happen. That's me having a little bit of fun. By and large, though, the Rockets did have a successful preseason. You'd certainly take 4-1, and by all the ratings I've seen up there, it's one of the best teams in the NBA. But unfortunately, Friday night was not really reflective of how they played for the majority of the preseason on both ends of the court. I'm not going to lose any sleep over it, and I don't suggest you do as well. But to break down where I think it went wrong, I'll start with defensively because that, to me, was the story. Spurs had 106 points, but it was more how easily they got shots. 53% from the field. It seemed like they had a virtual layup line at times, particularly that ball movement. And I've seen some critiques on Clint Capella, but I actually thought Clint Capella was the bright spot for the Rockets. In his 28 minutes, 9 points, 12 rebounds, plus 16. If you're looking at Clint Capella, he plays 28 minutes against the likes of LaMarcus Aldridge, Pau Gasol, gets 12 rebounds in 28 minutes and is plus 16. Folks, he did his part as far as I can tell. Also stayed out of foul trouble, only 3 fouls in those 28 minutes. So I didn't really have a problem with Capella. I thought it was more an issue of not rotating and not stopping the ball on the perimeter. I thought both Eric Gordon and James Harden were poor defensively. Ryan Anderson wasn't much better, and certainly he's not the quickest guy to begin with. So I think, were there lanes to the bucket for the Spurs? Yes, but it's kind of elementary to just blame Clint Capella and say, well, this guy should be protecting the rim better, because there's really no one in the league, short of a couple of guys, that can make up for just consistently poor perimeter defense, especially in a preseason game when you know everyone's not going 100%, particularly on the defensive end. So I think it's a little ridiculous to hold Clint accountable for that, especially when you look at his plus-minus, which was by far the best on the Rockets team. I thought generally the problems defensively, even though there were lanes to the rim and LaMarcus Aldridge did have a big game in terms of, you know, his top-line numbers, 26 points, 10 rebounds, I thought it was generally a failure of team defense. And I'll point out here, some of it I think is just the last game of the preseason. You're not going to see your guys like James Harden, Eric Gordon lock in defensively in that setting. It just is what it is. Beyond that, though, I do think this was a game in which you felt Chris Paul's absence. Now, you'll always feel the absence of a top 10 player, but I think especially in this particular setting, of course, we've discussed the upgrade a lot of Chris Paul on the offensive end of the court, having a secondary playmaker. But one thing I've said on this show for months now is that he's also a big upgrade for you defensively, even over Pat Beverly, who was a first-team all-defense guard last season. And the Spurs, more than anything, are the matchup where you would see that. Chris Paul, of course, sat out Friday night, as did Dene. Chris Paul, just a minor knee bruise, bump knees in the fourth quarter of that Memphis game on Wednesday. He'd play for a regular season game, but you're going to be careful in this spot. Dene, he's 35 years old, and so he's going to have occasional maintenance days from time to time. But Chris Paul's absence, you could really feel it on the defensive end against the Spurs, because the Spurs don't just challenge you in a one-on-one setting. It's not just about who the guard is and can they pick up somebody off the dribble. Where the Spurs challenge you is with your awareness, with your commitment to rotations, and that's where Pat Beverley, for all of his strengths, there were some deficiencies, especially in the playoffs, with him not staying engaged away from the ball for 24 seconds, and if that's what happens against the Spurs, they're going to burn you. So I think Chris Paul, that's where he brings the biggest upgrade, because Chris Paul is about the best defensive guard there is, in my opinion, when it comes to his overall IQ, his awareness, and of all the teams in the league, the Spurs are the ones that challenge your off-ball awareness the most. So I think it's sort of the perfect storm for the Rockets defensively, in that, yes, it's the last preseason game, so they weren't trying very hard. B, you didn't have Chris Paul, who's probably your best matchup for how the Spurs want to play. And C, even without Kawhi Leonard, the Spurs just play the perfect style of ball for this setting. If you're not committed fully defensively, the Spurs are going to kill you. And so you add all of that up and you get what happened on Friday night, which is the Spurs just got far too easy of a quality of looks. 53% from the field, 45 of 85, and you're not going to win many games when you defend like that. Upside, as I said, the Rockets did compete well. Capella with his 12 rebounds, Ryan Anderson had 7 in 32 minutes. They battled the Spurs almost to a standstill on the boards, 47-43, so it's not like they gave up. They did battle, they did fight. It's just a matter of, if your perimeter defense lags like that and they don't have Chris Paul, then the Spurs are not the team that you want to draw, and it's just really that simple. Now, from an offensive perspective, the thing that jumps out, before I even go into any individual lines, the Rockets were 15 of 53 from behind the arc. 53 total threes, just 28%, and scored just 97 points, again, losing 106-97. And it's one of those games, it's partly because it's the preseason, you're not going to have that many drives, because you're not going to want to see James Harden, Eric Gordon absorbing a ton of contact a few days before you play the Warriors. But And certainly that's reflected in the stats. Gordon, 12 of his 18 shots were from behind the arc. Harden, 8 of his 17 attempts were from behind the arc. So you didn't have a lot of driving. But besides that, we know from the playoffs how the Spurs play with that dual big lineup of LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol, two virtual seven-footers when it comes to, and even longer than that, when it comes to their standing reach. LaMarcus played 36 minutes, Pau played 28 minutes. And so if the Spurs are going to play that way, that traditional way, the best way that you're going to compete with that is to shoot them out of it, because they can't or shouldn't be able to defend you on the perimeter if they've got those two huge guys on the floor for the majority of the game. And so the way you do that, you've got to shoot a lot of threes, which the Rockets did, and well, you just have to hope you make them. And unfortunately, some nights you don't, and tonight, Friday, was one of the nights where the Rockets did not. And of course, it starts with James Harden, who was 1 of 8 from behind the arc. But generally, if this were a regular season game, first off, they'd have Chris Paul. He's another shooter, another playmaker you can throw in the mix in terms of attacking that Spurs defense. But secondly, yes, you're always going to be, if the Spurs play that way, a little more conditional on the outside shot, and you just have to hope that you make them at a greater percentage. I think over the course of the season, guys like Ryan Anderson, who were 3 of 12, Trevor Ariza was 2 of 8, Harden was 1 of 8, we know those guys are better shooters than the numbers on Friday night. And unfortunately, you're going to have occasional games where it's just not your night, and it's not clicking. You just have to believe that over the course of 82 and a best of 7, if you get there again against the Spurs in the playoffs, that eventually the law of averages is going to win out, and you're not going to have too many nights like that. But again, another positive to it is that in addition to simply missing shots, I think part of it also, you could have gotten a better quality of threes if, A, you were willing to drive to the rim more, which I don't think they were quite willing to do on Friday night because, again, it's a preseason game, and B, if you had Chris Paul, your other superstar and your floor general out there in the starting lineup instead of just Harden and Eric Gordon. So that's where I think things went wrong offensively. And then James Harden's stat line, I know, 5 of 17, just 1 of 8, did have 11 assists to just 3 turnovers, so that's a pretty good game from a distribution perspective, but didn't shoot well. As I've said for weeks now, I would not worry that much about James Harden's particular shooting lines in the preseason. He's got it figured out, and over the course of the season, he's going to be just fine. If there's any consolation you can get out of it, I've seen some folks trying to draw a correlation between Harden's great game coming when Chris Paul didn't play, and then his poor shooting performances coming when Chris Paul did play. Well, this game shows you that it's not just a matter of Chris Paul is out there or not, and that Harden's more comfortable without Chris Paul. No, Chris Paul didn't play, and Harden also had a bad shooting game. So I think it's just a matter of sometimes, especially in the preseason, when you're not willing to drive, you're not willing to take a lot of contact, Harden just 4 free throw attempts, then that's just not going to be a good night for him. Some nights you miss your shots, and if you're Harden and you're also not willing because of the preseason status to take a pounding to get to the line, you're occasionally going to have games like this. But again, are there going to be growing pains with Chris Paul and James Harden starting Tuesday in Golden State? Sure there are, but I wouldn't correlate Harden's success or failures this preseason with whether Chris Paul was on the basketball floor. There were some big moments for James, there were some lowlights, and I just don't really see that much of a correlation in terms of the Chris Paul angle and how those two are going to play together. As far as positives, I mentioned Clint Capela earlier. We were talking about defense, but certainly offensively, 50% shooting from the field. If there's a perk that you could look at offensively, Eric Gordon, boy, he had the one off game in Memphis. I mentioned regression to the mean. Well, folks, he bounced back in a big way Friday night, 9 of 18 from the field, including 6 of 12 from behind the arc. So, folks, it was a phenomenal preseason for Eric Gordon. As I've said for a while, he's your variable. And by and large, if you get him shooting like he has, folks, preseason, he shot 49% from the field and from three. If he's playing like that, 17 points in under 24 minutes, if that's the Eric Gordon we get, the version that scored almost 18 points a game on over 40% shooting from three when the Rockets got off to that 31-9 start last year, if that's the version of Eric Gordon you get behind Chris Paul and James Harden, the Rockets are going to be the second-best team in the Western Conference. There's not a doubt in my mind. No disrespect to the Spurs or the Thunder, but Eric Gordon is your variable. And so if there's a positive to take out of this game, even though there were some team negatives, it's that, yeah, Eric, he looks ready to go. And if he's shooting like that, then the Rockets are going to be a really, really, really tough team to stop. Looking up the rest of the roster, you had 29 and 28 minutes for Luke Bamute and P.J. Tucker off the bench, partly because you didn't have Nene. You also even had Luke Bamute running the offense a little bit in the absence of Chris Paul and in the minutes that James Harden did not play. That was interesting. But I think another takeaway to watch, you certainly had Ryan Anderson struggle a little bit. We mentioned his shooting difficulties, but I think we all know that there are certain matchups defensively that he can be a liability, and the Spurs might be one of those, particularly with the athleticism and physicality of that front line. So if you can't play Ryan Anderson, then you may need more minutes from the likes of Bamute and Tucker over the course of the year, especially against high-octane offenses, because we know the defensive issues that Ryan can have from time to time. So it's encouraging to see Bamute and P.J. Tucker largely have a positive preseason. One guy who did return, I haven't discussed yet, is Tarik Black. He missed most of the preseason with a sore knee. He had 4 points and 3 rebounds in 16 minutes Friday night, but he was negative 23, the worst plus-minus on the team. We talked the plus 16 that Clint Capela was at the center spot, and then that was offset by Tarik, who was minus 23. And, folks, that's what happens when you don't play in the preseason, especially if you're trying to knock the rust off against the Spurs. Spurs with their system, folks, it's not about Kawhi Leonard or any one player. It's about the system, and they will expose your rust in a hurry. And for folks that have been kind of nitpicking Mike D'Antoni playing his regulars, James Harden, Eric Gordon, all these minutes in the preseason, Chris Paul when he's been out there, well, I'll point you to Tarik Black. Folks, you can't just show up on October 17th against the Warriors and expect to be ready to go. I mean, you have only 5 games in the preseason. That's not many. You need to get these guys in shape. And if you don't, then you're going to have showings like Tarik Black had on Friday night in the regular season, because Tarik Black is not a bad player, but he played poorly on Friday night. And I'm not holding him responsible for that, because I think a lot of it just has to do with he's been hurt, and it takes time to knock the rust off. But that's, well, the good news, you have to hope that Nene is more ready to go on opening night. And from what we've seen Nene in the preseason, he's looked very good. But secondly, yeah, that's why you play your regulars all these minutes in the preseason, because if you don't, then yeah, there's going to be a lot of rust to knock off when you open up that regular season against the Warriors, which is very close, Tuesday night, just 3 days away as we record this on Saturday. Closing thoughts on everything, though. Again, it's the final game of the preseason. I wouldn't take that much from it. The post-game comments were interesting. It kind of focused on the defense, because, as I said, I led with the defense, because when you see a team score 53% from the field and get virtual layup lines at times, of course, you tend to worry a little bit in terms of the Rockets' offensive showing. They score you know, if they shoot 15 of 53 from the field and shoot 28% from three, they're going to lose most nights when, it, you know, if they play like that. They just need to make more shots. But defensively, the effort, you'd like to be better. Mike D'Antoni was asked if the defense took a step back. He said yes. James Harden was asked virtually the same question. James said no. My take is that it's just the nature of their positions. When you're a head coach, it's your job to ride these guys. Even if it's a game that doesn't really matter, you've got to ride them. You've got to make them stay sharp. Whereas I think James is giving you just the way the players see it. He's giving you the unfiltered honesty that, look, this is a freaking preseason game. The regular season, a huge game against Golden State, just a few days away. And then we're not even mentioning the aspect of not having Chris Paul, but the players who were out there on Friday night, folks, it's a preseason game. And they've already mentally moved on to the regular season. They just want to not get hurt. And I guess if that's your view, they succeeded. But either way, the proof's going to be in the pudding very soon. You start off against the Warriors. So whether the Rockets do have some defensive issues to clear up or whether it's just a matter of not being focused because it's the preseason, we're going to find out fast because I can guarantee you the Warriors on Rig Night are going to be ready to go. So, of course, we're going to have that to talk about in a few days. And I look forward to that within Sunday and Monday preview podcast to get y'all ready. But the back half of this show, it's going to be more about the roster because the game was not the only thing going on Friday. The Rockets also did finalize or apparently finalize. It's not done yet, but they took steps that gives you a pretty clear picture of what the final roster spots are going to be. We're going to get to that in a moment. But for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at SeatGeek because without them, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. And the great thing about SeatGeek, folks, if you're a Houston sports fan these days, you need a secondary ticket source. The Astros are in the American League Championship Series, three games from the World Series as I record this. The Rockets, Chris Paul, James Harden. It's going to be a loaded season at Toyota Center, first home game next Saturday night against the Dallas Mavericks. And many times when you have teams that are doing this well, you're not going to be able to buy from the box office. And even if there are tickets, they're going to mark them up so high that it's going to be uneconomical. But when you do that, you go to the season ticket holders. They have these secondary sites where they often sell from lower rates. And amongst those secondary sites, to me, SeatGeek is by far the best. It's a very friendly app, great for your phone. Also, SeatGeek.com is very easy to navigate. But when you use those secondary sites, you can often buy directly from those season ticket holders at lower rates. And as I said, SeatGeek just to me is it's the easiest. It's also the best because they cross-compare websites, they grade every ticket from 1 to 100, so you know you're getting the best bang for your buck. And the best part of this whole package is that, as my listeners here at Locked On Rockets, y'all also get a $20 rebate off of your first purchase, and to get it, it's just so easy. Just download the app and go to the Settings tab, or go to Settings on SeatGeek.com, and look for the promo code field, then enter the promo code LONBA. From there, you'll get a $20 rebate off of that first SeatGeek purchase. And again, you can use it for Rockets, Astros, concerts, pretty much even the Texans as well. You can use it for anything you want at SeatGeek.com or on that SeatGeek mobile app. Again, LONBA is the promo code. So jumping back into things, we spent the first 15 minutes or so of this show breaking down what we could and couldn't tell from the preseason finale against the San Antonio Spurs, 106-97 loss on Friday, but that was not the only activity going on with the team on Friday. The other thing we learned, or got a good picture at least, of what the final roster spots are going to be. They released four players, most notably Isaiah Taylor and Chris Johnson. Those are the guys that seem to be bubble candidates, and they signed Daniel House, former Houston Cougar, Texas A&M, Aggie. Now, as far as what that means, I'll start with the House signing. I actually like him a lot, but he's a signing. He's ticketed for the Developmental League with the Rio Grande Valley Vipers because he technically wasn't the property of another team. The Rockets can control his rights, so that's why they signed him. I like him. I watched him in college. To me, he's a prototype Rockets fit in that he does a lot of things well. He's very athletic. He can defend. He takes a lot of contact. He's a very physical two-guard. If there's one weakness he has, his mechanics, his shot is a little inconsistent. But we've seen that over the years from the Rockets. They like these athletic types, especially from guards, where the shooting is the one weak area. And then they feel like it's easier to work on and tweak the form of a shot than it is to teach these other skills. And so it's a lottery ticket. Is it always going to work out? No, but occasionally you're going to get guys. And of course, Kyle Lowry is the ultimate example of this. He's a point guard. House is a two, but it's the same general philosophy in which you have a guard that's very physical, does so many unique skills, and then all of a sudden, if they can turn into a shooter, then you might really have something. Not comparing Daniel House to Kyle Lowry, that's, again, an extreme example, but that's why the Rockets tend to err on that side in terms of some of their pickups. Again, House is not going to make the roster, but he'll be a G League guy with the Vipers this season. If you need him in a pinch, then sure, I like him. I think he's got a good mentality. I've met him a couple of times. I'm just a fan of his overall demeanor on the court. He's hard-nosed, he's tough, and yeah, if you can work with him on that jump shot, then he might have a chance to play in the NBA. So I think that's an astute signing, but that's, again, for the D League. As far as the regular season, the roster that the Rockets are going to take to the season, which starts Tuesday in Golden State, the key takeaways, Isaiah Taylor, Chris Johnson, they did not make it, which sure makes it seem like that Troy Williams, Bobby Brown, and Shinanu Anuaku will. Now, we'll see who the final 12 are in terms of the active roster, but I think the real takeaway is, first off, we knew they weren't going to give up on Anuaku, even though he didn't play a lot. This is a guy who drafted high in the second round just 1 year ago. They're not going to give up on him this quickly. But as far as Troy Williams and Bobby Brown, I got the sense that some of you were a little confused by their lack of playing time in the preseason. Now, first off, because there were so few preseason games, five as opposed to the usual seven or eight, then none of the bench players got that much time because you have to use almost every minute, only four games in the preseason against actual NBA opponents. So your regulars, your actual rotation guys, those top 8 to 10, had to get the majority of the time period because you've got to get them in shape and be ready to go by the time the season starts in Oakland on Tuesday night. But what limited minutes we did get to see from those bench guys, and a lot of this has been happening behind closed doors in practice, so a lot of it we're trying to give our best guesses, but even those of us in the media can't see what happens in practice, and I would venture a guess that that's 90% of the evaluation from a Rockets standpoint. But from what little we've seen in the games, it did seem like that Isaiah Taylor, the first game against Oklahoma City, he was the first non-big three guard, big three guards being Chris Paul, James Harden, Eric Gordon. Taylor was the first non-big three guard to get in the game. And in the New York game, which Chris Paul sat out then with the bruised shoulder, that was when Chris Johnson came off the bench and got 15-plus minutes. And so it looked like those two guys had a real shot, but ultimately those two guys did not play well in those games and then did not end up making the final roster. Now, I don't think it was necessarily because of those two games. As I said earlier, I think a lot of it has to do with what you're seeing in practice, but I think the confusion is, okay, why did they not play Troy Williams, Shinanu Anuaku, Bobby Brown, those guys more in the preseason? And my take on that, and I've said this before, I think the Rockets look at those as more known quantities. They saw Troy Williams in regular season games. Bobby Brown, everyone at this point, he's a mid-30s point guard, knows exactly what he is. Shinanu Anuaku, they saw him a lot in the summer league, and it's a little different because the Rockets' depth at the center spot between Capella, Nene, Tarik Black, it's pretty extensive there anyway. But in those cases, when it comes to preseason minutes, I think it was more a matter of looking more at Isaiah Taylor and Chris Johnson because they're the unknowns. You feel like you have a better handle on what Troy Williams and Bobby Brown, those types of guys, will bring to you. So I think the Rockets were a little biased in the preseason towards giving minutes to guys who they didn't quite know what to expect from. And ultimately, they didn't earn it. And that's not a shot. First off, it's hard to earn it in a matter of 15 minutes or so, but even in those small sample sizes, they didn't perform that well, and of course, it's no reason to panic, we're not talking about guys that are even in the top 10 in terms of guys to get minutes on this team. We're talking about the final spots on the bench and even the 13 through 15 spots that may spend time with the Vipers or not be active. So, again, it's nothing to be concerned with, but generally, I think the preseason was biased towards guys who the Rockets maybe did not, from a bench standpoint, I think Mike D'Antoni was a little biased to guys who he didn't know as well because he wanted to throw them out there and see what would happen, and ultimately, they just didn't play well enough. And I would guess the same trend held in practices because, as I said earlier, I think that's when you see the majority of these guys getting minutes, and so I think that's when 90% of the evaluation gets made. But the bottom line is, I think Troy Williams, Bobby Brown, I think the Rockets have a good handle on the players they are based on this past season, based on the summer league in the case of Troy Williams, and so there's a little less to find out, whereas I think these guys like Chris Johnson, Isaiah Taylor, they were a little bit more unknown quantities. So I think that's why they stole a few more minutes in the preseason. But ultimately, they just did not play well enough in those minutes or at practice to earn those roster spots over Troy Williams and Bobby Brown. And so ultimately, I think that's why the Rockets went the direction they did in terms of finalizing. And of course, we're talking about the final roster spots here because the other bench guys, look, we all know, of course, Bob Mute, Tucker, Tarik Black, Nene, Eric Gordon, you know those guys are set, but Joe Chi, he's going to be there as well. There's a lot of roster spots. Cam Oliver, it looks like he's going to make it, although he's out injured for the time being. So we know who is going to make most of these roster spots based on their youth, based on their projectability. It was really the Troy Williams, Bobby Brown, that backup wing, that fourth guard where you go from there. And Demetrius Jackson, because he has that two-way contract, you know he's mostly going to be with the Vipers this year, but you knew that he was going to make it. So really, it was about those backup wing/guard spots, your Troy Williams and your Bobby Brown types versus your Isaiah Taylor and Chris Johnson. And ultimately, the status quo won out. They knew what they had in Troy Williams and Bobby Brown. In Troy's case especially, played very well in the summer league, and it was going to take a really great showing, I think, to undo them as far as the end of the bench guys who has the potential to step in if there's foul trouble, if there's injuries, whatever happens this season. And ultimately, I don't think it's so much a huge indictment on those guys, whereas I think the Rockets were fairly pleased with what they had, and they were using the preseason just to kind of take a look at some of these guys to see if maybe that would make it a harder decision. And ultimately, between practices and the limited time in the games, it just didn't happen. So that's why Troy Williams, Bobby Brown, the roster is not set yet, so it's always possible that there could be a curveball at the last minute. But at this point, I'm anticipating them to make the roster, and I think generally should be pleased with it, because Troy, we've seen him play well with the Rockets this past season. For a young guy, he does have a commitment to defense, as evidenced by the games he didn't just play but started with Memphis, a very high IQ, hard-nosed team last season. And Bobby Brown, I think we all know that, is he an NBA rotation player? Probably not at this point, but he does have the ability to fill it up in a hurry. And in terms of guards on the end of your bench, if you need something in a pinch, then yeah, there are worse options than a guy who can shoot well from three and just fill it up in a very short time frame. So I say congratulations to them. I think they're going to be fine in that role at the end of the bench. And of course, best of luck to Chris Johnson and Isaiah Taylor as they look for potential gigs elsewhere, now that they did not make the final roster for the Rockets. So, with all that said, I guess I will go out and enjoy my Saturday. I'm going to take in Astros Game 2 in person, so if you're out there, tweet me. We'd love to meet some of y'all. But beyond that, it should be a fun weekend. Texans are home tomorrow as well. So, whatever you want to do, just go out and enjoy it. Houston, weather's going to be great starting tomorrow, so get some rest in. Have some fun away from basketball, and then we can start talking more hoops on Monday and Tuesday as the Rockets gear up for that huge opener on ring night for the Warriors in San Francisco. But for now, I will leave things there. As always, I appreciate you guys for listening. This is Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. Follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. Also, email the show, lockedonrockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions, suggestions, or inquiries about potentially becoming a sponsor of this rapidly growing show, just as SeatGeek was today. Remember, download that SeatGeek mobile app and use the promo code LONBA. Also works at SeatGeek.com, and you can get $20 off of your first purchase to anything. And yes, that includes the Rockets season opener 1 week from today at home against the home opener, I should say, 1 week from today at home against the Dallas Mavericks, or any Astros American League Championship Series or potential World Series game. Just use that SeatGeek mobile app and the LONBA promo code, and that'll be the easiest $20 that you have ever saved. Anyway, all those plugs out of the way, I will go out and enjoy the rest of my day. Go Astros, go Texans tomorrow, and yeah, we'll be talking in just a couple of days a little bit more about Rockets-Warriors to preview that huge matchup specifically, just 3 days away on Tuesday evening. For now, enjoy your weekend, Houston.